Welcome, everyone, to Win or Die Sports production of the Cock of the Walk podcast. This is a Gamecock podcast all about Gamecock football for the time being, brought to you by yours truly, Wesley Burris, and my co-host, Taylor Griggs. And we got a little bit of experience in the podcasting world, talking about something completely on another end of the spectrum from this. But we're big football fans. We're Southerners. We love it. And the Gamecocks are our team and when it comes to the NCAA football. So we're going to bring you today a little preview of the 2018 football season. We're going to recap what happened last year, maybe some thoughts about the Gamecock football program in general. And hopefully in the next several weeks and several months, we're going to bring you a recap. Hopefully, yes. We're going to bring you recaps each Monday or Tuesday. We haven't nailed down the date yet after the weekend's game. Then later in the week, we'll preview the game. Yes, we're going to provide a ton of content, and that could turn some people off. We have learned that in our podcasting ventures. Sometimes less is more. But in this case, Win or Die Sports is a brand that I'm trying to promote, and what I want to do moving forward is have, you know, I look at this stuff all week. I analyze the Carolina games mentally, and I look at what people have to say. Sometimes I'm mad. Sometimes I'm happy. Whatever, man. I love it. And I'm going to be looking into that, and I usually play fantasy football. I like to lay a bet or two. And so I look at and analyze this stuff sometimes too much, Taylor. And I know a lot more than you do, but you're a big fan. And Taylor's an old Panthers fan as well. And all of that, hey, we're going to bring you what I think is going to be some interesting content, opinion-based. This is not going to be, you know, just the sun is always shining in Columbia. If you want to hear that, then I suggest you listen to 107.5 The Game. That's not what style I want to be. This is my opinion show, and I probably would rub some people the wrong way. But at the same time, you know what? That's why I'm doing this, is I want to bring you content, maybe something entertaining, and I want to give you my take on what shakes down in Columbia every Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. So, I don't know. We got Tiger podcasts as well, because guess what, guys? They're one of the biggest players in college football right now, and that sucks for all of us Gamecock fans to hear. But I want to bring that as well, because I have a lot of Clemson buddies, and I want to give them some content too, because I watch all their games just like I watch ours, unless we're playing at the same time. Taylor, moving right along into what we want to get into, we mentioned earlier to each other, like, there was a lot of speculation around Will Muschamp a few years ago. Was he the right fit? I know a lot of fans were disappointed in his hiring, and I have to say that I made arguments with several people that at the time, if we didn't get Fuente, who was my top guy, who I would have liked to see if you think the problem was offense, and that seems to be where the game is going at the college level and the pro level, the rules are definitely in favor of the offenses, and it's debilitating for a lot of people on the defensive side of the ball. Before I get too far ahead of myself, let's touch on that hire and what you thought about Muschamp coming to Columbia. What were your initial thoughts?
I didn't like it. I was against it.
For what reason?
Just because there were so many other people out there.
And the stink, maybe the stink from Florida?
Yes, definitely.
I think that has I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. There's no reason to go too in-depth on this. I initially thought, wow, that's the hire we made. But then it didn't take me long to figure out, hey, man, we were that bad on the defensive side of the football after being really, really tremendous at it. And you look at where the Clemson Tigers are now and swallow the pills, Gamecock fans, but they have the most ferocious front in college football, and they will this year as well. And they have big-time depth behind that. We had that for a few years, and that's when we played our best football. Having a stout defense, a competent defense that forces turnovers, that creates pressure, that forces the offensive coordinator out of his rhythm. And when you can rush four and you can get pressure and you can attack, and you can that makes it easier to run man-to-man on the back end. That makes it easier to drop into little short zones and then allowing you to bring pressure on other downs that really just blows offensive coordinators' minds and can really destroy the run game, can just make the best quarterbacks look bad. And you know, I dreamed for years that we'd have that in Columbia. We had it for a brief time, and I don't think I savored as much of it as a Carolina fan. Or I'm a pessimist, and a lot of my friends know that. You know that. And so a lot of times I'm like a doom and gloom type of guy, but I'm also a realist. So I like to look at projections on what Carolina football is going to do based off of my opinion. I listen to what everybody says, and I try to digest that and then put my spin on it, and that's kind of where I arrive at where I think we're going to do, and we'll get into that later in the show. The Muschamp hire to me was very smart. You have to say it's smart now because of the turnaround, the quick turnaround. We just got more competitive on the defensive side of the ball, and the cupboard wasn't bare. We had some speed, but we had lack of size, and we had lack of strength up front for a little while, and it really has hurt us, but the progression has been there. It might not be as fast as people expect, but we were really good at forcing turnovers last season, and that defense, you never felt like we were just going to – people could just go down the field on it. It just didn't really happen that often. We've had hiccups with smaller opponents and all of that, but to me, Muschamp is a – it seems to me, when you watch the videos on YouTube and whatnot and through the various – Gamecock Athletic sites, Gamecocks Online and Gamecock Central and Garnet Black Attack, all that stuff. You see how he is a player's coach, but he's also very skilled at X's and O's. I feel like it's the right fit for him right now because our fan base, I think, should understand our place. We know where we can be, but how do we get there? And I think the plan is working. I think there's a lot of talent here. So I'm happy overall with the Muschamp hire now. I don't see how you can't be. Have there been things that have gone on with offense coordinator Roper and things like that over the course of the last couple of years that we've questioned? Absolutely. And he's gone now. Now we have Brian McClendon in here, and he's going to allegedly go more hurry up. What are your thoughts on an up-tempo offense, and are you a fan of that? Do you like the grinded-out pro style maybe that Spurrier had because of the backs we had at the time? What's your thoughts?
The hurry up is really becoming – the main offense in college football, is it not?
I would think. I mean, it's as prevalent now as the I formation ever was. Yeah. I mean, you have to really say so, that. And not just college, but down at the high school and JV level.
I don't like it.
You don't?
Because I don't.
You like to run the ball and chew the clock. You old school?
I like to let the defense go out there and work.
My dad and a lot of people wears it. My dad.
But then you throw a deep ball every now and then.
Well,
just run it. Then do
so run it on first down, run it on second down, throw a deep ball?
No, not in that order.
That's the Lou Holtz offense.
Deep ball on first down, then run.
You can take a shot on first down. Yeah. But not if you're in a hole, I don't think. No. Not if you're at your own 20. You don't
just
need to do that.
I mean, it's just a hurry up get so – didn't they try it a little bit last year?
I mean, they said they've – Percetti was going to run it for 2 years, but he
it
didn't.
It didn't really look like it was
– you know what? Well
– working.
No, because it really wasn't anything that we implemented fully. And, and even in the bowl game when we did go a little faster, we had the big comeback against Michigan, and that was all that was nice. That was a great defense we played against, by the way. That's the best defense we beat all year, but their offense was a little bad and made nut job plays, which is why we were in the game. And our defense actually stepped up and played a really good game. They did. They were pumped up for the bowl. I don't take – as much away now. I mean, the win was big, don't get me wrong, but I'll take away more getting the bowl practices and whatnot is the most important thing about going to a bowl game, not necessarily whether you win or lose. It's getting those practices to have the guys that redshirted and sat on the sidelines all year time to get out there and play. So I think with the staff that we have with T-Rob on defense, I think he meshes well with Muschamp. They have the same philosophy. They've worked together for so long. They know each other. He's a young African-American recruiter. I think that's a big deal. I think having a black offense coordinator is a big deal. That's a good thing to me. In the South, you know, most of your talent, your great talent, they're going to be black guys. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, there's no arguing that. Southeastern Conference football and ACC football are leagues above in terms of top-to-bottom talent, these other leagues. They just are. And where they dominate is on the line of scrimmage. We might not have the best offensive linemen. I think some of those might be in the Midwest and Northeast. They have a bunch of studs up there. But guess what? We've got D-linemen that those guys can't hold a candle to. The speed, the strength, the athleticism, just everything pops down here in the South. It's hard to be a quarterback. You can look and say the SEC has the numbers. Numbers-wise, their quarterbacks aren't that good. But now the national media is sort of saying – there's some guys in this league that are, have very good arms, and they're very, very talented, and they can look bad 1 week and pretty good the next. So that's just how things shake down sometimes. Well, I think we need to go back, and now we both grew up Carolina fans. You've gone to games with your uncles. I've gone to games with my uncle, with my dad, several buddies. This is a big part of my life, man. This is what I grew up loving. This has always mattered to me more than the NFL, more than anything else. And sometimes we can put our garnet-colored glasses on and see things one way. I wasn't meaning to be boastful or anything about my opinion earlier in the show, but this is going to be an opinion-based podcast. This is not going to be just analytical. It's going to be my take on. So, yeah, there's a lot of times I think when you listen to sports talk radio and you have homers doing it, they can't step away from the product, you know what I mean? And they can't give you that objective point of view. They can't look at things in a different light. So that being said, like I said, I plan to do a Clemson Tiger podcast as well, just because I do follow it, I watch it, and I don't have to be negative on that podcast. I mean, to be honest, that would be more my straight lace podcast. Much more so than this one, I think. So that's where my plans are to take this. I hope you guys enjoy it and give us a chance. We're going to move right along into maybe a little recap of last season, go over this really quickly. Gamecocks ended up having a better record at 9-4 last year and 5-3 in the conference than most people expected, Taylor. So I think most people had us pegged around 7 wins, which seems to be the consensus for this season as well. And what game to you last year stood out as – what was our biggest win to you?
I would say probably NC State to me.
That's a big one. They ended up being a solid football team. They were damn good offensively. They had a solid defense. They were – it did surprise me that we won that game. I was negative going into it. I can't fault you for thinking that. I can't say that any other Gamecock fan would be wrong for saying NC State or saying Michigan. The bowl win was big in the sense that that's just positive momentum. You can't ever deny that. So the NC State game was in your stadium up there you like to go to on Sundays.
Yeah.
And I do think beating them there was nice, and I can't fault you for that. But I'm going to throw out a different point. This is going to sound dumb to a lot of people. I think you could toss it up, beating either Florida or Tennessee, that was our biggest win. Tennessee was a shit football team last year, and we played our absolute worst game of the season, beginning to end, against that football team, and we still won. So to me, winning that game in Knoxville, it really punched their fans in the mouth, which I appreciate. They're nice people when I've been around them. They are. But I like being ahead of them in the pecking order. When I spent so many years of my life looking at that football team in that shitty orange color that they wear, that's even worse than Clemson's to my eye somehow, and that loud-ass stadium and Rocky Top and all their cool tradition, but just the arrogance. And they've really been bad for a long time, and we're better than them. We have more talent than them. It's that simple. So a lot of people look at that, we should have went, no, because they've beaten us, what, I think it's 3 straight before going into that.
Yep.
And teams that were better than them that lost to them. So to me, that was one of my favorite wins, and I always enjoy beating the Gators. It has not happened often. Steve Spurrier was the first guy that could get it done on a fairly consistent basis. He didn't beat them a ton, but he beat them several times, and now Muschamp has come out. He got over that hump at his former school. So just to run down the results last year, in case some of you didn't know, we kicked off the season with Taylor's favorite game against NC State, 135-28. At Missouri the next week, we won 31-13. Don't let that score confuse you, though. We played very well in the second half, but Missouri caught up in that game. If it's not for Debo's kick return for the touchdown, which he was electrifying at the beginning of the season, by the way. Yeah. The first kickoff of the season against NC State, he took it to the house. He was brilliant. And then, sadly, the next week at Kentucky, after he has a touchdown, he goes down. This guy was becoming very talked about. He has been injury prone, some would say. I won't call it that. I think he's been unfortunate is what I would say. I wouldn't call Deshaun Watson injury prone. I would say he's been very unfortunate. He's taken some bad licks, and he's had bad luck. And that happens to stars sometimes, because guys like them want to make a play, and they'll extend a play. So things
and
end up happening.
Freak things.
Sometimes, yes. But God damn it, and I'm sorry for using that foul language on here. I really apologize because I'm trying to keep this podcast a little bit cleaner than my other ones. I sincerely apologize. But you know what? That kind of gets me hot because I like watching guys make a play. My buddy old Joel Boykin gets mad as hell when somebody runs out of bounds when they could have gotten three or four more yards. He hates it. And you know what? So did my dad. And I can appreciate that hatred. Sometimes it's smart to get out of bounds, but I can also understand the old school mentality.
Sometimes you
got to
think about the next play.
Right. But I can understand the old school mentality of put your head down and get it. So going right back, we mentioned the Missouri game. So we lost to Kentucky the next week, and that was just heartbreaking because they weren't very good, and we shouldn't lose to them. And that's three straight losing to them. Is God Almighty? It's just, man, that makes me mad. And because guess what? We have more talent than them. That's just a fact. Coaching and bad plays. It was a combination of everything that lost us that football game, and we had opportunities. But somehow the last couple years against them, the offense hadn't been able to get in the groove, and it really makes me mad. The next week, we had to come back from a huge deficit to beat Louisiana Tech at home by one.
Oh, yeah.
When we've had all these kicking woes last season, missing short ones, hitting long ones, missing short ones, finally found Parker White at the end of the year who could drill one every once in a while. You know what? I'm skipping that game. That game had me so mad. And I'm not going to lie, man, I had thoughts, never thoughts of not watching it again, never thoughts of not being a fan, but just I was telling myself I can't get that wrapped up in this stuff anymore because this roller coaster of emotions does you no favors. It just raises your blood pressure and as a fan and makes you say and do irrational things. It makes you do whatever. I hate being that wrapped up in it, but I do love it, man. But hey, we got the W. And when without that win, I don't really know. The team could have fallen apart. We lost at A&M in a close game, 24-17, a game where we were up at halftime with, I think, 17-7, I think, something like that, half. I mean, there's no reason to me we should have lost that football game. Got way too conservative late. Arkansas, we blew their doors off in the second half with a bunch of turnovers, pick sixes and whatnot, fumbles everywhere. They played a bad game. We beat them 48-22. Like I mentioned earlier, at Tennessee, we win a nail biter, and they had a chance there at the end.
Had some home cooking on the clock.
Oh, yes, they did. But we escape Knoxville.
Timekeeper had his hand on the stop.
My God, beat them 15-9. Vandy, the next week was too competitive a ball game for me, but they have a hell of a quarterback, Kyle Shermer. He's good. I don't care what anybody says. He didn't play that well again. He didn't do a damn thing against Bama. Bama rolled him, and I'm sure elite teams would have done the same thing because Vandy wasn't super talented. But South Carolina by no means is an elite football program. We've got work to do because we should be better. And this is not arrogance on my part to say. We should be better than Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
I will
that
say.
That much we should
I
be.
Like the coach at Vanderbilt.
You do? Because a lot of people seem to give him hell for being too boastful and too really? Loud and everything.
Maybe
yeah,
that's why I like him.
Okay. Well, maybe you like that kind of guy that's just – he's arrogant for no reason. I think he's a solid coach, but I think sometimes he lets his mouth write checks his butt can't cash. It's just that simple.
Maybe.
He did against – he said they were ready for Bama and lost 59-0. They weren't ready.
They weren't.
No.
Who is?
At Georgia the next week – we kept it closer than experts think, as Lee Corso would say, only losing 24-10, but we were only in this game for a little while, and they pulled away late. I mean, we gave it a valiant effort. It was a tough, hard-hitting football game, but guess what? I think Georgia also kind of knew after embarrassing us a couple years in a row, they kind of played around with us last year after or the year before last after all the hurricane nonsense, but – the year before, they'd blown our doors off when we were batting with defense and just stomping on our throat. They couldn't do that this year. We hit. We were physical at the line of scrimmage. We wrapped up. We tackled well. I look forward to that game more than any game every year, man. That's my favorite day of the year. I don't go into that game the way I do the Clemson game and all nervous and anxious, really, because I'm kind of loose and I'm just ready to see it. Sometimes they let me down. A lot of times they make me feel good. So, Florida, another big win, in my opinion, even though they were down 28-20 at home. It was closer than it should have been. We sort of did dominate that football game for the most part. We were better on the line of scrimmage and the point of attack. We beat Wofford 31-10, then lose to Clemson when I didn't even watch this game.
We were
at a pro wrestling show, honestly, because I knew we were going to lose. It's been it's been a tough few years for me to deal with this, but I know how good the Tigers are. There's no denying it. Everybody in the country knows their name now, and that's the envious spot, man. It's where you want to be in college football, and they're right there. They're the kings of the ACC, and they're the kings of the jungle right now. We cannot deny that. Do make a nice bowl game. Early in the morning on the first of the year, there's a lot of eyeballs on that game. This bank game was heavily bet. The action was crazy on it. It went back and forth for a couple weeks. I paid close attention to that. I can't remember the final line, but I think it was like, did it end up being 8 or something like that? I can't really remember. Anyway, we come from behind down 19-3, come back and win, shut them out the rest of the way, and just played a good game defensively, solid game defensively the whole game. Had some good punts. Just things went our way, and I think it was a hell of a coaching job. B-Mac's first time as an offensive coordinator, and I thought we looked very bad. We didn't convert a third down, I think, until after halftime.
Yeah.
We hadn't converted a third down till the third quarter. That's amazing. So we're going to move now into the depth chart for this year. I'm going to give you a little rundown of what to expect, and then maybe kind of wrap things up with some predictions and whatnot. Taylor, do you like Jake Bentley?
He is a polarizing figure, isn't he?
Why do you say
Carolina
that?
Carolina fans, because I know.
Well, I think there's a lot of.
I know there's two camps. There's my camp, which I think he's got the tools. I just don't feel like he is being told or coached right, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I thought for a long time that his dad being there might have been a bad thing. I think his dad is a hell of a recruiter, and he's allegedly a good man.
He's got a cannon.
He's got a – look, Jake has a good arm. He's mobile.
Yeah.
He's athletic. He's in great shape. He can take a lick. He's shown that. He makes good decisions for the most part. Even he will say he overthinks sometimes.
Yeah.
And he says that the up-tempo offense that they're bringing in is going to help him, is what he said at Media Days, SEC Media Days in Atlanta. And he said that on the Feinbaum show. And I think the guy, like you said, he's got a big arm. He can throw the deep ball. He's accurate. He's over 60% for his career, I believe, already. And he hasn't thrown for a ton of yards. Like I said earlier, it's hard to be an elite quarterback in the SEC. It's very, very difficult. It happens from time to time. Most of the time, that's guys that can run as well as throw. Wouldn't you agree? Hadn't been a guy to me in a long time that just go back there and just sling it all the time.
How many NFL quarterbacks now came from the SEC?
I mean, there's a lot in the league.
Starters, excuse me.
I don't know that number. It's not very high. No. I'm not saying that you have to necessarily translate to the NFL to be considered
usually
a good quarterback.
I know, but
look,
usually,
man. I got something I'm going to say later. I'm not going to mention it right now. But it's tough to transition there.
It is.
Let's get off of really just beating around the bush here. So, Jake's the quarterback. I just wanted to know your opinion of him. And I think you share that with a lot of people. And this is his second year as a full-time starter. His backup, as far as we know right now, is still Skarnecchia. We need him to be healthy, guys. We do. But we've got guys with competition in the back end. We've recruited well the past couple of years. Right now, I'm just going to go over the two deep, so we're not mentioning every damn body. The two deep as we know it, I haven't been too up to date on all my injuries. I know there's some guys that are banged up, didn't participate fully in the spring, but we've got guys that are going to come back. And when we get into summer camp here in the next few weeks, well, probably right now, Rico Dowdle, he comes back. He's the team's leading rusher. This is a deep position to me. AJ's behind him, Mon Denson. Tyson Williams. We're bringing in newer guys as well. We're not going to quit recruiting running back. You can't.
No.
You have to be multiple at running back. It's just because sometimes the guy's got the hot hand, so to say, but he's just running the ball better than others. And I like Rico. He's tough. He had some setbacks last year, missed a good portion of last season. It's nice that he'll be back. I hope Tyson has improved. We're all hearing good things right now. The stars of the show on the offense, really taking the shine away from even Bentley, are the guys he's going to be throwing to. Debo's back, and guess what? He missed all but 3 games last year. So, I mean, who knows what he did? He had 3 touchdowns. So, Bryan Edwards, we know, is a steady pass catcher. He's a proven playmaker. Shy Smith and Ortrey Smith came on last year as freshmen, and they both made big plays. I think South Carolina is deep at the wide receiver position. Multiple guys, Casey Crosby and such, are going to take over tight end, play some slot. He's got competition behind him with Jacob August, who they say is the better blocker of the two, and some new faces are going to appear there as well. On the offensive line, should still be stout, got a lot of competition back. Last year, it seemed the last few games of the season, we played a lot better up front, protected Jake a little bit better. You can't take the Clemson game into effect of that because they just had absolute freaks and still will this season on the defensive front. It ain't nobody going to have a fun day blocking those boys. But we have Dennis Daly at left tackle, projected at left tackle, Zach Bailey at left guard, Donnell Stanley at center, Sandarius Hutcherson at right guard, and Blake Cooper at right tackle. As I said, Parker White as well at place kicker is going to have competition. So it's healthy right now. We got 8 starters back on the offense. It looks as if everybody is saying the offense is going to be great. I'll take a wait-and-see approach. I have to see what we come out with and what we say for Georgia. The first 2 games are going to be by barometer because Georgia lost a lot on defense, but they're going to bring back a ton of talent. They have recruited well, and they're Georgia. They always have speed, and they always have athleticism, premium speed and athleticism. So I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach on the offense. I do think it should be better. There's no reason with a bunch of guys on the offensive line that are returning starters and guys that have played a lot, with them coming back and growing in the strength program and whatnot, working on their footwork, maybe slimming up a little bit, maybe putting on a little bit of weight, whatever the case may be, I think we should be improved. Give Jake time. He's got playmakers to give the ball to. We've got running backs to keep defenses honest. They can block. They can catch out of the backfield. I think our backs are interchangeable. Out of all our running backs, who would you say, just to wrap up the offense, who would you say would maybe be the most dominant running back? You think it's Rico or Tyson or AJ? Which one would you? You think so? I think he's the best. I think Absolutely. He's the best all around. Tyson has shown flashes. AJ has speed, but I don't think AJ's necessarily he can stand a guy up every once in a while, but he's not necessarily as thick or as tough as we need a guy like that to be. I'm interested to see if Mon Denson can touch the field a little bit more this season because he seems to be that straight ahead vertical running, but north-south runner that I like to watch. But you always need to compliment them as well. And moving to the defense, this is an area of concern for me. I think it should be for a lot of people. We lost several key players in secondary and whatnot last season, but returning and Sky Moore's gone, who just had a ton of picks, forced turnovers, knew where he needed to be all the time, led the team in tackles 4 years. He's one of only 16 men in college football history that have ever done that, and he led the team in tackles all 4 years he started. That is, he had a brilliant career, and I hope he can get past some of his nicks and injuries over the last few years and have a successful NFL career. I'm pulling for him. He was a good guy, apparently off the field in the classroom, and a hell of an athlete on the field. Projected right now, we got a competition at one of the defensive end spots with Aaron Sterling, Shamik Blackshear, a couple other guys. We got to see what the freshmen can come in or and see if they can maybe get off the edge quicker than some of these guys because we need – to work on the D-line. It started playing well last year. They gelled. We seemed to have more of a presence in the backfield than we have in years past, and that was nice to see. It was refreshing. Javon Kinlaw is a good player in the middle. He's just refers to himself allegedly as a little chihuahua. He's got a big bark. He's aggressive. The coaches like him. Kobe Smith is and Kingsley Ingambare are supposed to give him competition for the middle spot. Kier Thomas will be the other guy. We're going to switch from a 3-man front to a 4-man front. Sometimes we'll probably go out there and play 2 tackles, maybe stand an end up. Muschamp likes to keep it multiple, but these are the guys that will be in the mix. DJ Wanham is a guy that 13 tackles for loss last year, just came on. Everybody puts him over as a workhorse, Taylor, and I think he's been, to me, a huge bright spot. One of those guys that wasn't highly, highly recruited, wasn't touted very big. Just a playmaker. He shows up on Saturdays and gets it done. TJ Brunson will take the job from Sky Moore as being the leader of the defense, and everybody seems to have confidence in him. He wraps up. He finishes tackles as his coaches want you to do. He's aggressive. That's what you need from a linebacker. You need a guy that understands the plays. Muschamp said at media days that he was just I don't have to tell TJ anything. Same thing with Wonnum. I don't have to teach them anymore. Now it's just about them, you know, going out there and letting them perform and him putting them in the best position to do so. Bryson Allen Williams was granted a medical redshirt and a fifth year of eligibility. That's nice to have him back. We got Daniel Fennell, who played a lot last year. He's a guy that's going to be in the mix behind those guys, as well as Rescindo Lewis. Sherrod Green is allegedly, right now, we think is going to be the other linebacker. He's physical, but he missed the last six spring practices. So we don't know what his status is going to be going forward. Could he be banged up, whatnot? Eldridge Thompson is a senior. He's going to man the spot after him. We've recruited that position as well. Young guys are going to get the chance to step up in the backfield under Muschamp. They're going to be out there in the mix on special teams and whatnot, and he's going to play. He said it the other day. He's going to play the guy that shows up to practice, because the guys that get it done in practice, he knows it's going to transfer over, knows it's going to transfer over to the field. In the backfield, Rashad Fenton's got 18 career starts, only two career interceptions, but he's a guy that we have used in the return game before, has shown he's decent in that, and so that's a guy that we need to make some more picks, and maybe he can create a play for us. We're not that physical at corner, and that's something that Muschamp gets really mad about, because this is his sort of pet area, is the secondary, man. He lets T-Rob handle a lot of it, but he still nitpicks these guys a lot. That was his position in college. Keyson Nixon's the other corner. He's an ex-starter in the nickel, and I hope he gets a little better. We have J.C. Horn going to back them up, and Israel Mukama, and Stephen Montack back at strong safety. And Jamias Williams will take up free safety, and he had a two-pick season last year. And Montack has 4-6 turnovers himself in the last 11 games. Jalen Dickerson and Javon Charleston are going to back them up. And then Joseph Charlton and Michael Allman Jr. are going to battle it out for punting duties and whatnot. And you know, had to have a transfer there from Kent State. He didn't do that well last year, but hopefully we need something there. We need to be more sound in the kicking game. So your thoughts on hold on, we'll do that in a second. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Just to show some a little improvement real quick, this is the 2015, which was Spurrier's last year when he quit on us and Sean Elliott had to take over. We were 99th in total offense, 110th in scoring with 21 points a game. That's bad. Defense, we were 94th in the nation, which actually was an improvement over 2014, believe it or not. In 2016 under Muschamp, and I want to mention, turnover margin was actually not that bad. We were plus a half of a turnover a game, so we were 32nd in the country in that. 2016, and that was bad too. 15 was a bad year. 16, we made some improvements. Still didn't have a great year, but you saw the improvements. But scoring offense went down to 116th in the nation. Total went down to 115. Didn't find the quarterback till late in the season when Jake came on and played well to end the year. Defensively, we improved all the way to 66 in total defense, so almost 30 spots. And our scoring defense, we cut a point off. That doesn't sound like much, but then our turnover margin went up. We were plus 7 and ranked 24th in the nation. Last season, 108th in total offense. So just not really any progression. Really disappointed me. Losing Debo hurt. Never could really get a ground game going. The offensive had offensive line issues, had protection issues, which go hand in hand with that. Jake was inaccurate sometimes, had bad games. But defensively, we improved to 44th, and we're 25th in scoring defense. And we ranked 13th in the nation in turnover margin at plus 11. I see improvements coming here, Taylor. I have to be optimistic. So even this old pessimist is going to be optimistic about this next season of Carolina football. So what I want to do now is sort of go over the schedule, get your opinion, my opinion. We do that as in a timely manner.
Why don't you read them off?
Okay.
And we'll say win or loss.
Okay. That'll work. That's kind of where I was getting that long-winded way.
Okay.
Thank you for simplifying it for me. September 1st is going to kick things off with Coastal Carolina.
Win.
I think that's a win.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I do, but you also have to sandbag a little bit. Hopefully we have the ability to sandbag a little bit, because next week Georgia's coming to Columbia. You're counting it as an L, and I think any reasonable-minded person has to count it as an L. Like I said, I have to take a wait-and-see approach. This is an opinion episode. We're going to probably make some people mad with what we think of some of this stuff, but I'm not going to sit here and just be crazy about it. Right, I'm not. Marshall comes to Columbia the following week. I would say a competitive game, more competitive than we want it to be.
Yes.
But should be a W.
Yes.
At Vandy.
Win.
I'm counting that as a win as well. At Kentucky.
Hopefully they win.
You're not going to count it as a win? I hope our guys want some revenge, and I hope we're healthy enough after this first few games to go up there and beat them in Lexington. My God, I'm tired of losing to them. I'm going to count it as a win just because I can't sit here and just – I don't want to talk about it. Missouri, October 6th in Columbia. We had two road games in a row, by the way. In our Columbia.
I feel like that's a loss.
I do as well. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this. We're going to do an SEC preview episode later on, coming out in the next couple weeks. We're going to do an ACC preview as well. Missouri is my dark horse to win the East, and the reason I say that is their defense shapes up at all. This was number five offense in the country last year, guys. And a lot of that was against bad teams, and I understand that there were teams that went out there and just beat them. Guess what they did the rest of to end the season? They won six straight ball games, and you can talk all you want about their competition. Guess what you do in sports? You go out there and you try to win every day. And when you win six games in a row, I don't give a damn who it's against, to end the season, I think they might have lost. Now I'm going to have to look. They might have lost their bowl game. I don't want to end up being dumb about it. They did lose their bowl game. I'm wrong. They finished the regular season winning six games and then got beat up by Texas in the bowl. But either way, they won six straight games to win their bowl game. I can count that as a loss as well. A&M in Columbia.
Loss.
We just don't have the talent they have. I can't right now sit here and tell you we're going to beat them because I haven't seen that we can beat A&M yet. We've had two close games with them and two bad games against them, and I don't foresee anything being on the up and up there. Tennessee, the Vols come in.
Win.
We have more talent than them. That's how I'm going to base it on that, and you can call me arrogant all you want. We have more talent than Tennessee. We should beat them. At Ole Miss.
Loss.
I'm counting it as a loss as well. We struggle against Ole Miss. We struggle against the West. We're on the road. I don't think they're still postseason banned. I might be wrong. They have really nothing to play for except week to week. They still have a lot of talent from all the cheating they were doing recruiting. I'm sure they have a lot of offensive firepower. That's a game sandwiched between Tennessee and Florida that is just screams loss to me.
Yes.
At Florida.
Win.
You counting it as a win?
Yes.
I think it could go either way. I'll count yours as a win. I could see us losing them. Their defense is top 10, top 15 every damn year, man. They have great talent. Their offense, they're on the up and up. With Dan Mullen being hired at Florida, and we'll get into this in our preview, but I want to mention it now. That's the scariest hire to me in college football because we have to play these guys every year. We know he's a good coach. He made Mississippi State is always known as that team that can win 7, 8, 9 games any given year. But he made them nationally relevant, got them in top five a couple times. They don't have the recruiting capabilities that South Carolina has and definitely not Florida has.
Oh, yeah.
My God, he's going to win there. I'm calling it – I mean, it's not even – putting my reputation on the line to call that. I think that's got to be consensus that he's going to win at Florida. Especially with Jimbo running away from Florida State and whatever. Chattanooga at home the week after that.
Win.
We should beat the Mocs, I think. And then at Clemson. I mean, I can't get – this is bull. get out of here with that. Well, did you do the tally? Where did we come up with?
Sitting here trying to and I forgot.
I bet we're on 7. Let's just go and recap. Coastal, Marshall, Vandy, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, Chattanooga. That's 7. Your 7.
Yeah.
We're at 7. That's where the experts think. I think this team has the capabilities to win 9 football games. Possibly, if luck really shines on them and fortune goes our way, 10. But I'm not going to sit here and predict 10. So, to show I'm not completely a pessimist all the time, I'm going to say 8. But I definitely could see this being a 6-win.
Squeak one out.
I could see this being a 6-win football team and barely making a bowl. I could see that. If I'm going to be realistic, you can never account for injury. You can never account for what happens to other teams as well and how freshmen are going to factor into things and guys we don't know of yet are going to factor into things. So I think 7-8 is a good assessment. I really think it is. So that's kind of where I feel the season's going to go. I don't think we need to go super more in-depth into this. This is just our first episode, a little preview, as I said. I do expect the offense to be better. I want him to be more consistent. I'm pulling for him very hard, man. I mean, it's going to be something. Oh, boy. I mean, I feel like we need to be a top 35 or so offense to in order to have a successful season. I really believe that. To win 8-9 games or achieve more than we did last year on paper. The 9 wins last year, if you get right down to it, we beat 2 good football teams. Missouri, I'd say 3, because Missouri ended up turning around at the end of the year. We beat 3 good football teams, and the rest of our wins were not that good. So the other 6 wins were just not good. I mean, you can't quantify them. I mean, whatever you want to do, I'm not going to sugarcoat things as you to steal a line from you a while ago. But I am optimistic the program is in the right direction. I want to think long-term and not necessarily short-term. We need to do things now. With the new football operations facility coming up, which is like a 20-something thousand square foot building. It's awesome. Oh, it's awesome. We have an indoor practice facility. We're catching up on facilities. Muschamp is just reinforcing the ideas that Spurrier had since he's been here. And how fortunate are we as Carolina fans that our last 3 coaches, not counting Sean Elliott, and I'm not dismissing him in any way because he did his job admirably, but I'm not going to count him in what I'm about to say. Lou Holtz, Spurrier, and Will Muschamp. Muschamp is the lesser of the 3 as far as name value, but in terms of what he knows about today's game of football, he's definitely the most relevant. But having that name recognition before him enables us to sell the fans. Muschamp is selling the fans on progress, and I said progress, and I think we need to continue to do so. I'm happy right now. We're not where I want us to be. Are we where you want us to be? No, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all sunshine and lollipops in Columbia right now, but I think we're on the right track. It's going to be a slow build, and we have pitfalls that could happen along the way. Teams like Florida on the rise, Tennessee allegedly being on the rise, Kentucky is they're better than us right now. They're beating us. I mean, we have better talent on paper. We don't get it done against them on Saturdays, and that makes me upset. And Clemson has just beaten the ever-living hell out of us. So that's no fun at all. And I know we've all thought about that way too much, and that's given a lot of you guys nightmares. I can't let it ruin – it'll ruin my day, and it might ruin 2 days. I can't let it ruin my week, and I am passionate about it. But I'm optimistic enough to where I think we can look good, but they need to prove themselves to us as fans, and I think, like I said, they're moving in the right direction, and I'm repeating myself now. So I'm going to wrap it up. Taylor, we had some ideas about bringing you once again that we're going to try to recap every – Gamecock game the next week following Saturday's games. We're going to come to you probably on Monday or Tuesday. We'll keep you updated on that. Going to do a Tiger podcast as well and keep you up to date on that. But we're going to have a Clemson preview for us. So if you checked out this Gamecock preview, you enjoyed it, check out the Clemson preview. As I said previously, we're going to do an SEC preview and an ACC preview as well. And I think that's kind of where I need to end it right now. I'm excited to do this podcast. This is a passion of mine. I'm going to look through this stuff all week anyway, and I might as well apply it to something useful. And, guys, thanks for checking us out. Hope you'll continue to do so in the future. We do have plans as well, maybe a little wagering podcast where I talk about the lines of certain games or maybe do a little look ahead for the nation, kind of scope the nation as it would be. That's just some ideas floating around right now, but – Check us out. Stay tuned in the future and check out our Tiger podcast as well. You Gamecock fans, you can stomach to listen to me talk about the Clemson Tigers for a little bit if I'm going to give you the content, because I do care about the state of football in the Palmetto State. I do care about it. It impacts all our lives. We work with each other. We talk trash. It's something I enjoy. So thanks for listening. This has been Wesley Burris and Taylor Griggs. This is the Cock of the Walk podcast brought to you by Win or Die Sports. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next time.